Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Can you feel it? Will your voice crack just as badly as mine just did? Can you feel it, Bolts Nation? The playoffs. They're right there. They're so close you can touch them. You can hear it. The goal horns sound different in the playoffs. They do. I don't care that it's the same noise. The Tesla coils, they ring that much louder every time we score in the postseason, and we are so close. With good news this week, too. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. My name is Tom Lang. This is part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network. I am so thankful to the folks at Joe Bucks Fan for greenlighting this project, because now is when it pays off. You guys have stuck with me for the last month, whatever it is. And I appreciate that. It's down to winning time. The final weekend of the regular season is upon us. Tampa Bay controls its own destiny. The destiny, it is ours. All you got to do tonight, tomorrow night, we play the Buffalo Sabres in Tampa. We play the Carolina Hurricanes up in Raleigh-Durham. Regulation or overtime win. That is to say, a non-shootout victory tonight and tomorrow, and the division's ours. No other questions are asked. No other ifs, ands, or buts. There's nothing Boston can do. The stinking Panthers, who were once a rival of ours 20-some years ago, but we really have never played good hockey in the same year, save for maybe a couple of seasons in the last 20, they are not odious this morning. They do not stink. There is no BO factor. Thank you, Florida. Thank you, Roberto Luongo, who has tormented us over decades with 40-plus save efforts. Thank you for contributing to a big-time win, making Boston a loser yet again. They lost on Tuesday. Who'd they lose to on Tuesday? Finally, the Tampa Bay Lightning. We saw it. It happened this year. We beat Boston. Hallelujah. More on that later. Literally. Actually, more on that later. But there it was. Boston has procured, as I like to say every Friday on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, 1 point in their last three games. That's what paved the way. Last week's episode of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, Stamkos would not have been a fan of last week's episode of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. There was way too much negativity. It was too negative. You may say it spoke facts and truths were communicated through this microphone, but it was too much in the negative department. We needed help. That's where we last left you, is that we needed help. Boston now had control of the fate of the Eastern Conference playoff race, of the seeding, home ice throughout, all of that stuff. It was in Boston's hands, and then it wasn't. And you thought it. I did, too. On Sunday, I thought, well, I guess it's Toronto. You know, Boston comes back from the depths of hell, which is where they live, and where they happily reside. And they tie a game with less than 5 seconds to go up in Philly. I mean, are you kidding me? That's the second time. A good friend of mine is a Flyers fan. We don't talk hockey, but he's a friend of mine in other realms. And that's the second time in the last 6 weeks that Boston has scored in the final 10 seconds of regulation to either force overtime or outright win the game. And there's that point that they get. Of course, Philly does go on to win it in overtime, but you think, man, that point's going to come back to haunt us. We're not going to have a chance, an honest chance again. And then we lose to Nashville in a game that we played really, really well, I thought, and Nashville just kind of held down the fort, and that's hockey. They won a game that I thought we played much better than Nashville for 40 minutes, but it's going to happen sometimes. And so you thought, well, we're SOL, right? There's no chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes. In fact, there's more than a chance now.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
No, there's more than a chance now. Because now, thanks to Boston's failings, all we got to do, non-shootout wins tonight and tomorrow, and the crown, the race to the Stanley Cup, the road to the Stanley Cup, goes through Tampa Bay. Isn't that awesome? You know, we're not going to change the schedule here on the Joe Bolts Fan podcast, at least not right now. If there's a sponsorship opportunity that you want to take advantage of, perhaps we will. But we have what we're budgeted to do here, and that's the order I'm going to follow. So that means that next week we're going to be back with you talking on Friday morning. Right around lunchtime is when this thing gets released. If the tea leaves I'm reading are correct, that means that that will be a sandwich day between games 1 and 2 of our first round. What does that mean? Why couldn't you say that simpler, Tom? Well, here's how you say it simply. Games 1 and 2 of the playoff series that we are about to embark on next freaking week, thank you, will be Thursday, Saturday at Amalie Arena. That's what I'm hearing. We'll see if it bears out that way. But what I'm hearing is Thursday, Saturday, and then a week later on Saturday will be game 5. That's what the tea leaves say about Amalie Arena's schedule and when they're actually going to be playing the home games in the first round. So we'll talk to you next week, and that will be with a first-round opponent, having played a game against the first-round opponent, and either quite happy or frustrated with what we've done against the first-round opponent. Is it going to be a wild card team, or is it going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs? That now is in our hands. We're playing Buffalo and Carolina, guys. If you produce something in the neighborhood of the effort we saw this past week, I like our chances. Short of, you know, a back-to-back 40-plus save effort and we get goalied, we got a really good chance at this thing. So 6 points were available to us this past week. We procured 4 of those points. Friday night, again, when we recorded this podcast last week, we were playing the New York Rangers, the second of a back-to-back after a devastating loss to the Boston Bruins, a game I thought we played really well in. We played up to standard. We just didn't come away with the points. Took care of business in New York, scored 18 million goals. Then on Sunday, we play the Nashville Predators, and we can't score a single goal. We're controlling the flow of the play for 40-odd minutes, and there's a backbreaker of a goal that Nashville scores to go up 3-1, and that's the end of it. And then they just control the game. We were demoralized. Then on Tuesday, the game of games. You know, if nothing else, Tuesday night, it was important to at least make Boston have second thoughts. Put some doubt in the back of their mind that if we do, in fact, see them in the second round of the playoffs, they don't feel like they own us. And in fact, we did more than that, did we not? You know, a Boston fan might tell you after Tuesday's 4-0 loss at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning, this game didn't matter to us. It mattered more to you in Tampa. You know, we had beaten you 3 straight, and we'll be fine. But this game mattered to you. You brought the intensity. We did not bring the intensity. That's simply not true. Like many Boston fans, I would say that person is full of 3 things. Chowder, intolerance, and bull you know what.
Bullshit.
Thank you, Arnold. That's exactly right. Bull, you know what?
Bullshit.
All right, settle down, Arnold. Boston cared deeply about that game because you know what it would do? It would actually do what Marchand said had happened a week ago Thursday, which was it would be over. The division race would have been over then and there. We would have rested players, and we would have gotten ready with an eye towards Toronto in the first round. But it didn't go down that way. They brought their effort. We brought ours, and ours was better. Ours was just plainly better. Our game plan was sound. Our tactics, our fundamentals, they were all there. Of course, Boston produced some chances. They're a really good hockey club. That's what's going to happen. We're better than they are, I think, when we play our best hockey like we did on Tuesday. But that's not to say that they don't have a really, really good chance of beating us in a best of 7. It's a really good hockey team. That Marchand-Bergeron dynamic, when those two play together, is all at once breathtaking and maddening. But we controlled the action. We threw the puck at the net from everywhere. We got it out of our zone, largely. A couple of bad shifts, but that's going to happen. We got the puck out of our zone. We got the puck in their zone. We cycled. We possessed the puck. We got it on net, and we scored ugly goals. You know, there are a lot of times when I'm in the stands at Amalie Arena over the years, and I'm rolling my eyes because all I hear from all corners of this arena is, shoot! Shoot the puck! If Andre Schuster is lining up a shot from the point and the goalie sees it all the way, he's not going to give up a juicy rebound and it's not going to go in the net. So that's not a good shot. Can we stop with that? Sometimes, however, that logic is correct. It's not to say it always is, like we always try to impart, But it is sound reasoning sometimes, and it was on Tuesday. Again, Boston's defensive structure is such that if you try to play finesse hockey, which is what we're best at, you're going to get smoked. You can win one out of three. Because we're so good, you can win one out of three. But that's not a formula to win a best of seven, and that's not a formula we needed on Tuesday. So we threw the puck at the net from everywhere. I mean, that Braden Point goal is so damn soft that if I'm a Boston fan, I say to myself on Tuesday, we've climbed all this way. Since November, we've been invincible, especially against these Lightning. And that's the goal you're going to give up? A nothing shot from Braden Point from 40 feet away? Or however far away it was, could have been 200 feet away. What in the world are you doing? Well, now it's 1-0, and the place is rocking, and we're hitting guys on the boards. We're getting in scrums. We're accountable for each other. It just felt so good. It felt, Cooper has long been talking about defensive zone responsibility. Rick Bonus has been screaming about it. There are a couple of press availabilities where it seemed they're at odds with the captain because the captain was looking at results. And Stamkos wasn't in this game. I'll touch on that in the second segment about his health and what we could expect moving forward. But they seemed to be at odds. You know, the results were there, but the game wasn't. And we could see that. These games are televised. You can buy a ticket and go see him. We could see that we're kind of getting lucky here a little bit. 9-1-1 isn't exactly representative of what we're bringing. And the coaching staff was just begging for an effort like we saw on Tuesday. It's satisfying to know that it sunk. It sunk in a little bit, and we got to see it. It's satisfying to know that they have now seen the proverbial ball go through the hoop, not just against Boston, but with a game plan and a formula that wins in the playoffs. That's a formula that even if we don't win the division, having watched us play this last week, including Tuesday night's rousing victory over Boston, that's a formula that gives me confidence as a fan. That's what I'm talking about. It just feels different. It feels so satisfying. It feels downright spiritual. What? Is that the Mississippi Mass Choir to help me celebrate how spiritual that moment felt? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yes it is! Oh, my brothers and sisters, how does it feel? Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah indeed! Woo! Throw the puck at the net. Play a 200-foot game. Play physical. Take it to Boston. Sing it to me. Let that effort never leave us. Oh, my. Woo. Are we done? Rick and Brian, are we done?
Shoot the skies! Oh, unbelievable!
Oh, testify. Testify. Playoff traditions. I've got one. Hopefully you do too, and hopefully you can feed back as to what yours is. The health of the team and the number one concern I still have as we head into a deciding weekend of the regular season. This is the best. This is the best time of the year. Joe Bolts Fan Podcast coming back right after this.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Oh, unbelievable.
That clip really works with everything. That just brightens my day. You know, I never played it on the podcast when it happened. That was the Braden Point toe drag in overtime where, frankly, it sounds like the N1 mixtape tour. Brian Engblom just getting after it, screaming at the top of his lungs between the two benches. I'm sure the opposition just staring at him for 15 seconds going, really, dude, you're a broadcaster, and you've worked so hard your whole career to stay objective, and you're just going to shout like that in the middle of a Debbie Downer moment for us? You're not supposed to step on the play-by-play guy's call, but in this case, this is just gold.
Shoot the skies! Oh, unbelievable!
Is there an atrocity happening before Brian Engblom's eyes, or is he happy? I can't tell.
Oh, unbelievable!
That's how it feels to be a Bolts fan today. It's within reach. It's all within reach. I'll do some housekeeping here in a second as to how you can get the Joe Bolts Fan podcast. If this is your first foray, if you're experimenting with it, you click the link at joebucksfan.com and you want to get it elsewhere and you can't read the paragraphs ahead of the play button. That's fine. I'll tell you exactly what you need to know about how and when to get it. But first of all, let's get to the injury report and what exactly is going on from a health standpoint with the Bolts. Okay, Steven Stamkos didn't play Tuesday night against the Bruins. He left the game on Sunday against Nashville. It was, you know, kind of one of those injuries where it happens in the background of the game. A few shifts go by and you don't see 91 on the ice. And it's not for a benching. You know, you see Kucherov's out there, JT Miller's out there. That was the group. I wish JT would still move with Point and Gord, but we're getting by right now just fine. So I'll shut up about that. 91's not with his usual line mates. Okay, then the broadcast says he's not on the bench. All right, and a period goes by, and there's still no word. Well, that's not good. You know, you're reading about how Boston's losing players left and right these last few weeks. They've got the injury bug, and the worst thing that can happen to us, and it's happened with Stamkos in particular over the years, Ben Bishop too when he was here, you get hurt at the wrong time of the year. So is it serious or is it not? Stamkos had been dealing with an issue in past weeks that held him out of a game even last week, a week ago Monday. So 2 Mondays ago, he didn't play in a game where he wanted to, but he was not made available. I'm told that what Steven's going through right now is a little bit different, just a little bit different than what he was going through 2 weeks ago. However, the good news is it's not going to keep him out of anything. In fact, he may play this weekend. He may play tonight. Tonight and Saturday, one of the two games, now that there's something on the line, now that there is a job to be done and a division to be won, he may be available for us tonight and tomorrow. Had we been eliminated, had Boston taken care of business on Tuesday, and they had no chance to do that, I'll keep reminding you, they had no chance on Tuesday, we would have rested players, Stamkos would have waited till game one of the playoffs. But he could be available in a pinch, and tonight might qualify as that pinch. So, that's one injury. Adam Ernie, of course, in the last couple of weeks, I haven't really touched on his absence. If they haven't announced it, that he's likely done throughout, that's what it's looking like. Ryan Callahan, of course, returned to the lineup. He'll always be an injury concern, though. He's just fragile, and that's unfortunate. He plays a really physical game, and it leads to what he suffers, which are constant injuries. I hate it for him. I hate it for our dressing room because I think he brings a wonderful presence, and that's why we re-signed him. It wasn't to score 25 goals a season. It was to be a culture guy. So hopefully, you know, health is with him in the postseason, but you just can't count on him to be available every single night. He'll do it if he can. He's got such heart and guts and toughness. He's not pulling himself out of a lineup unless he's hurting the team. And then, of course, you look at some of the guys that have rotated in. I think Corey Konecker has played well in the last two or three games. He's brought good grit and effort. He's playing with desperation that you would expect. Anthony Cirelli is now an afterthought when it comes to leaving him out of a lineup. He's just going to be in the lineup until further notice. He wins you faceoffs, and he's just a smart player, and he adds to what you bring to the table. And how about Seti Paquette? You know, I haven't been a fan of Seti Paquette for some time now. I don't understand the bromance that is John Cooper and Cedric Paquette over the last couple of years. Why this obsession to get him in the lineup? What he brings to the table is obvious with grit, but I think he takes dumb penalties, and I think he makes low IQ plays. But that's not the case, and that's not the Seti Paquette of the last couple of weeks. The Tampa beat writers down there, Eric Erlandson and now Joe Smith of the Athletic Tampa Bay, they're talking about it, and they're right. This is the Seti Paquette from a couple of years ago. There's more skill and instinct to his game than just reckless abandon hockey. If you're going to give me that Cedric Paquette, who's not guaranteed to take one dumb penalty in the offensive zone a game, I will take that player because he does get under opponents' skins, and he can induce a penalty or two to the good. Not he sits in the box and you're on the penalty kill. He can actually be an asset to you. And if he's going to keep playing like this, then roll him out there. I know Cooper wants any excuse possible to do that, but he's got a good one right now. So I think Stamkos is fine, obviously. If this was, you know, a playoff series right now, he'd be playing. We'll see about the production. It's getting to that point where a little bit everybody's kind of looking around the room saying, all right, Steven, we're doing okay right now, but kind of need you. Kind of need you to produce. That's a storyline for next week. But I promised the housekeeping details, and here are those housekeeping details. Subscribe to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, and thank you if this is your first foray with us, at Google Play and iTunes. Subscribing is free, and you'll get an alert every time a new podcast posts. Hit the podcast button on your iPhone and search Joe Bolts, and you'll find it right there. Find the podcast on Player FM, too. More platforms are always on the way. And feel free to leave reviews wherever you want. The Joe Bucks Fan page, iTunes, of course. That 5-star rating helps for whatever that's worth. I don't care. It could be a 3-star podcast. I know that doesn't help our numbers, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Let's talk some hockey. Post on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting page this week. You'll see the link to the Joe Bolts Fan podcast, and we'll talk some hockey. Even go back and post there next week when the playoffs start. Your thoughts there. I will make a better effort so that we can start a little bit more of a dialogue. That's something that I want to do. And you can also react to those games by adding me, mentioning me on Twitter. It's at underscore Tom Lang, T-O-M-L-A-N-G. Let's talk some hockey, because now it is winning time. And now is also a time of traditions. That is a professional segue. Do you have some beyond the playoff beard? Because I do. I have two traditions or superstitions, and one of those is if we win a game, obviously not a home game where I travel to, but if I'm watching a game on TV and we win a game, I have to go back to that location. So if it's a certain section of my couch in my house, I have to sit back there for the next game. If it's a local grill or bar, well, in Tallahassee, yes, I'm going right back to you for the next game. So if we're winning, I don't want to mess with the mojo. I don't believe in mojo, but I certainly act like I believe in mojo. And speaking of Mr. Mojo Rising, that's the second of my two traditions. L.A. Woman, the song by The Doors. For whatever reason, and there's a specific one, it has become the anthem of victory every time we win a playoff game since way back when we were threatening to win the cup in 2011. I've played L.A. Woman after every single win. So if I'm out and about and there's a jukebox, I will find it on a jukebox. If I'm at home, I got to pull it up on the computer or my phone. I put it on the Bluetooth and I listen to the entire thing. It's a long song. I have to listen to L.A. Woman after every single playoff victory. I know it's weird, but here's why. When we were down years ago 3-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round of the playoffs, I think this was, again, it's 2010 or 11. I think it's 2011. It was the Dwayne Rollison team. You know, we lost to Boston in Game 7 of the East Finals. They end up beating Vancouver in the Cup Final. We're down 3-1 to the Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, without Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Young Staal was the best player on their team at that point. After we beat them in Game 5, I'm talking to my buddy Coffee. I'm sitting outside on the deck, and I pulled up one of those music choice channels that you get on digital cable or DirecTV satellite. And up comes the song L.A. Woman, and I feel fired up about the game. I don't know that we're going to come back from 3-1 down. I know, and in the NBA, it's all the rage with it happening to the Thunder and to the Warriors and to the Cavs, all that stuff. But in hockey, I mean, it's just so hard to win 3 in a row. And that song's playing. I'm feeling good about the effort. I'm enjoying an ice cold beer, and the weather here in Tallahassee that time of year is gorgeous, no exception this season. And we're just having a good chat about the realities of our team under Guy Boucher and strengths, weaknesses. Do you really think we have a chance? Well, if we win game 6, then we definitely have a chance. Yeah, that's true. And that whole song plays. So, as I said, I'm a little superstitious. I was right back where I was for game 5 and game 6. Win that game. All right. L.A. Woman. That was what was playing. So I pull up YouTube on the laptop. I plug it into my radio receiver, and we win the game again. Well, now it's a thing. We win game 7. Now, most certainly, I can't not do this for at least the whole playoff run. We sweep Washington in the next round, the heavily favored Capitals, who choked again. Stop the presses for them every single year. And a tradition was born. Ever since then, whenever we went in the playoffs and we went on a long drought and it felt so good to make it back, We win a playoff round against Detroit finally after a big drought. L.A. Woman is the song that plays. So what is your playoff hockey tradition? Do you go to a certain place no matter what, win, lose, or draw? Do you have to watch the game with a certain friend? Do you attend all the home games and you have a certain seat and section? I mean, feel free. Fire away. We're going to post, obviously, this episode on joebucksfan.com. So if you subscribe to it, you can find that page there on Joe Bucks Fan or message me on Twitter and tell me what your traditions are. And if it's a good one, maybe I'll adopt it. If that's okay with the mojo, of course. But here we are. The division is ours to take. Second chance, right? Played the clip last week. You choked. Well, we did. Now Boston, in turn, had some trouble in the throat area. Can we finish the job? And who will our opponent be next week? This is winning time, man. Play like we did leading up to tonight and tomorrow. Take your chances. Even if you don't win the division, continue to play like that, and I like our chances in the East. I hope you guys are ready for the playoffs. This is going to be quite the ride. Again, it's going to be every Friday until further notice, so it looks like I'll be talking to you between games 1 and 2 if the scheduling thing I heard is correct. I hope you're ready for it. I know I am. And since this is a radio station that I'm recording at, I do have some licensing leeway. I'm going to give you a taste. A good portion of LA Woman by the Doors on the way out. So if you want to jam out with me after, I'm going to listen to the whole damn thing. I hope you will too. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to it. It's time, man. I'll talk to you next week. All right, find the rest yourselves. I got to get this podcast up so everybody can hear it. LA Woman by the Doors. Listen to it. What a great track.